Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joe Ostrowski.
And the pitch swung on, hit to deep left center field. That's trouble, and that is going to be gone for a three-run home run. Corey Dickerson has just hit a line drive, three-run homer to left center, and just like that, Miami takes a 3-1 lead here at Wrigley.
Knights on 670 The Score.
1-2 lifted toward right, pretty well hit. Back goes Hayward, back near the right field fence, and that ball is gone for a home run. It got up in the breeze and sailed on out of here, and Miami now leads 5-1.
Joe O.
If there was ever a time that I wish that I wasn't restricted by FCC airwaves, it's this.
Just one of those days. Yeah, Stephen A., I was actually thinking that just before I came on the air, because when I do the morning show on radio.com, Bets with Ross Tucker, I can't swear. And, you know, during the conversation, that'll happen from time to time when I get upset about a few things, like not covering a point spread. Got to remember, okay, I'm doing the show in the same place, in my office, in the basement, but I can't do that tonight. But I really want to. It's like Hawk. I'd really like to cuss right now about a lot of things. Good evening. Joe Ostrowski with you till 10. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Actually, it's not a great evening. I just lied to you from the top. Sorry about that. Because tomorrow might be double elimination day as far as Chicago baseball is concerned. If you were doing a fade Chicago parlay, you made a nice healthy profit based on some of the pitiful play that we saw this afternoon. Same time for both teams tomorrow. Cubs and Sox, even though the Cubs are in Game 2 and Sox are in Game 3, both looking to avoid elimination. Maybe at least one of those teams can move on to the DS. Coming up at 6:40, our friend Evan Altman will drop by to talk Cubs. 7:20, Jim Margulis to talk Sox. 8 o'clock, Lawrence Holmes to talk about everything. He reached out to me. I said, oh, yeah, you're coming on. He only said Sox, but you know, we'll talk a little bit of everything, including some Bears and probably some Cubs stuff, too. I didn't see his wrap-up, his Twitter video today. Did you see him post one, Jordan? Because my favorite was a week ago when he was so frustrated, he just held up the sponsorships and threw his hat at the camera. It was the shortest video I think I've ever seen from him.
I haven't seen him post one today yet, but I did see that one, and that one... Although it was upsetting, that was probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, it had to make you smile a little bit. So we've got a lot of Cubs, a lot of Sox to discuss. We'll get to some Bears stuff going on. We'll bring you the post-game sound from both losers in town today. And let's start with the Cubs falling to the Marlins 5-1. Miami takes a 1-0 lead. Ian Happ, it's the only offense they got. A solo homer. He went oppo. 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. Baez 0-for-2. Caratini 0-for-2. Hayward could not come through either. Sneed's four spots in the lineup. I'll go 0-for-4.
Well,
Bryant in the 3 spot. Oh, before him, Rizzo, by the way. Rizzo and Bryant 0-for-4. Hayward 0-for-4. Caratini 0-for-4. And I'm not even getting to the pitching right now because this is the storyline. This has been the storyline with this team over the last few years and how the seasons have ended, whether we're talking about a 162-game season or just a 60-game sprint. The team can't hit, and they continue to bring the same guys back, and they think it's going to change. Change the manager. Change this coach. Change that approach. Show up at the ballpark earlier. Nothing changes. It doesn't matter. I don't want to, man. It's one game, and I know it's so random, but just to hear the excuses already on a national broadcast. So now the Javi Baez excuse is there aren't fans? He needs the crowd to feed off? During the offseason, the Javi Baez excuse was he didn't show up at the park early enough. Don't talk to me about handing this guy $200 million, please. I don't want to hear any of that this offseason, because I expect it to wrap up soon. Sure, they can win tomorrow, and maybe they'll move on to the next round. But does anybody really believe this Cubs team's going on a deep run? Really? Stop. Stop. I mean, all the wasted hot air, and I'll raise my hand on this one, about, well, which one are we going to pay? Javi Baez or Chris Bryant? Do you have to pay one of them? With what we've seen? I'm not in a rush to pay Javi Baez. Why should you be? It's been years of excuses. Maybe everything just fell right that one year. And this core four that we've been talking about, and we've said, oh, they're going to have to break it up at some point. Maybe it's not all that great, because they can't score runs at the end of the season. Not one time, not a couple. Look at the last 3 years, how the seasons have ended. Look at this regular season. Another case in point. They can't score runs when it matters. And that's the story with this Cubs team. And they keep bringing back the same guys. And it's not changing. Well, they're going to be forced to make some changes this offseason whenever that hits. Maybe they can get past the Marlins. That wouldn't shock me. But that's the story here. We can criticize David Ross if we want. And sure, he was a little late to pull Kyle Hendricks. But I understand what he was thinking. Get him out of there in a rush to bring out Jeffress. And what did he do? Single homer. Strikeout single. Coming into the season, they didn't have a bullpen, and then they played the 60-game sprint, and at the end, what did you learn? Okay, there's a couple guys I sort of trust out there, sort of. There's nobody to lean on. So I understand why Hendricks is out there for 106 pitches, even though he clearly didn't have it in that last inning with three straight batters. But please, Javi Baez, let's pick him over Bryant. Right now, I don't want to pick either of them at this moment. That's how I feel. I mean, it's been embarrassing what Baez has did. We're not talking about a small sample size either now. We're talking about the entire season. So the latest Baez excuse is the fans. And his friends on the national broadcast, David Ross, they're putting that out there. Stop. Let's stop. I know 2020 is a crazy year. But last year it was Joe Maddon's fault because he didn't make the players show up early enough and he wasn't ready to play. And Baez said the first few innings, he's just getting loose, getting ready for the game. And now it's because there aren't fans. Okay. Sure. Oh man. I'm a little more amped up than I thought I would. And I was kind of thinking it going into this game that the Marlins might be the right side here. Cubs definitely have the pitching advantage tomorrow. Yu Darvish will make his first playoff appearance as a Cub, going up against the rookie righty for the Marlins in Sanchez. But the story is mostly about the hitting. We can talk about that seventh inning and David Ross a little slow to react. The 100th pitch by Hendricks, that was a 102-mile-per-hour single. His 105th pitch was a 103-mile-per-hour single by Wallach. And then the very next pitch, number 106, was a three-run homer by Corey Dickerson, which was struck at 105.4
miles per hour. So you can certainly make the case that Hendricks was out there a little bit too long and matched his the most amount of pitches he's had in an outing this season. Cubs lose to the Marlins 5-1. Only offense they got all day, an Ian Happ solo home run into the bleachers in left field. And how about this for some trolling? I saw this first put out there by Marlins PR. They were tweeting out that the last time the Marlins scored five or more runs in an inning during a playoff game was October 14th, 2003 at Wrigley Field. Yeah,
I remember excuse that me? Game.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they were going to reference that a lot more in the game and during today's game, and thankfully they did not. Phone lines are open if you want to jump in, Cubs fans. Sox fans, I'll get to you in just a second. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. That is the number to call and also the number to text. You can tweet me at Joe0670, at Joe0670. Executive producer this evening is Jordan Malley. He's a big Sox fan. Well, Jordan, your White Sox is a little bit better. A little bit closer. They were in the ballgame at the very end. You can't say the same for the Cubs, but end of the day goes down as a loss. And now the White Sox and Athletics are tied at one with the series being decided tomorrow. White Sox lose to the A's by a score of 5-3. Dallas Keuchel, not what you were expecting, not what you paid for. Had a nice regular season. But in his first postseason start with the White Sox, that's not going to do it. Getting pulled in the fourth inning, giving up two home runs, three earned runs, five runs overall. We'll get to Nick Madrigal in a second. Six hits, only 62 pitches for Keuchel. Chris Davis took him deep. So did former Sox Marcus Semien. But how about the fight in this team? And we view these two teams in town very differently, and I think we should here. But they're down 5-0 for seven innings, and we get to the eighth inning. They didn't go away. They fought to the end. So you've got to respect that.
It's been kind of their mantra all year, right, Joe?
Yeah.
No, it's coming back, battling. What? And I thought Chris Tannehill in our side studio here at the Score was going to absolutely explode when that ball went off of Abreu's bat. And, man, it was close. It was so close.
Because he struck it so well?
Yeah, and we thought for a second, yeah, just off the sound of the bat, we were like, oh, that's through, and it was just a little bit short.
I know. Well, you know, Tim Anderson starts off that eighth inning with a single, and then Melvin's not messing around. He goes to his closer, Liam Hendricks, for the six-out save, or at least go out and finish the game for us, and it's 5-0. They were not playing in game two. It felt like they were playing with Lizardo, and maybe he was their best option for game one, but it's still a lefty against the Sox lineup. He was not playing there. 5-0. Kind of reminds you of why people were criticizing Joe Maddon. And I'm not here to say that it was a wrong move, but Hendricks didn't have it today. But yeah, they're down 5-0 for seven innings, and they're still fighting. You get the TA single, then Yasmani Grandal with the 2-run homer. All of a sudden, it's a 5-2 game. And then still in the ninth, first two hitters, you're facing the weak part of the lineup with Engel and Dyson. They go down swinging, but you know Madrigal, who had a really rough day in the field and on the base paths, but he hits a single. Tim Anderson with a single. Things are cooking on the corners. Moncada takes a walk. They pull Hendricks from the game. Grandal takes a walk. It's 5-3. Bases juiced. And Abreu's up. That's the situation. That's all you could ask for as a Sox fan. They're in there at the very end. But, yeah, sharply hit grounder to second base, and it's ball game. But you still have to respect the White Sox rally there. And what was interesting to me, Jordan, is if you paid attention to Oakland at all this year, that's also the team they were. They had all these late rallies and, you know, no deficit too large. They had a lot of comebacks very early on in the regular season. So in that same vein, like, these two teams fight to the very end, so you've got to respect that. Eloy Jimenez out for the second consecutive playoff game. We were hoping that we would see a little bit of Eloy. We did not. Still has that sprained right foot. Chris Bassett, nice job for the Athletics. Six-plus innings, one run allowed. What we learned in the postgame is, well, not a whole lot as far as tomorrow goes. In the deciding game three, we don't know the pitching matchup here. And Oakland's playing the same game. they're not making any sort of announcement. So we don't. They're going to go with Cease. I don't know what the Sox are going to do, and we don't know what the A's are going to do. So it'll be interesting to see when we get word on that. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. This is the Joe O Show. Call or text, whether it's the Cubs and the White Sox. A lot to go over. Both teams lose, and it could be double elimination. It could be a doomsday Thursday with both teams ending their season. That is certainly possible. We'll check in with Evan Altman on the Cubs coming up at 6:40. Lawrence Holmes will drop by for a visit at 8 o'clock. This is 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Caratini hits a fly ball to shallow center. Coming in and looking for it is Harrison making the catch. And the ball game is over. Miami wins game one.
It is still strange. I'm not used to it. I was saying today that I'll let you know how I feel about this best of three situation tomorrow. Because baseball might be ending for the 2020 campaign on both sides of town. Joe O Show, Sports Radio 670, The Score 640. We'll check in with Evan Altman, who does a great job covering the Cubs. The Cubs lose today. If they lose tomorrow, they're done. Yu Darvish will be on the bump, so they have the big pitching advantage. Got to come through in a big spot. And then the Sox, they lose 5-3. Their game three, deciding game three tomorrow, and we don't know what the pitching matchup is going to be. A lot of people jumping in on the text line. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Peoria Matt says, "Preach, Joe, what a joke," referring to the Cubs. 773, "Relax, they aren't excuses for Baez. You're over the line, bud." How? He spent the offseason saying he wasn't ready to play at the start of games for the first few innings. His admission. Do you want to talk about his 2020 campaign in which he's hitting 203? His on base of 238? The guy that was going to be a cornerstone for the next decade on this roster? The guy that you have to throw at the bottom of the lineup? The broadcasters were friends with David Ross, who worked with David Ross today, were saying that that was what he's been saying, that he feeds off the energy of the fans. It's already out there. The Cubs are putting it out there for you. Sure, you want to invest that much money. He had two really strong years. You could probably even go a little bit longer than that. But the last year plus, he's been really, really struggling. I understand he's a fan favorite. I get all that. And he does get the loudest ovation over at Wrigley. But I don't know how you don't take a hard look at this year and say, oh, I don't know. We might have to think this one over. It's a larger sample size. He hasn't been that good in a really long time. 6-3-0. Javi was bad at the end of last year, too. There were fans, video and all. Yeah, a lot of people bringing up that, you know, with all the fans, we don't want to hear it because it wasn't going on last year either. He admits that he had a lot of issues. But it's not only Baez. It's not only him. I mean, Schwarber's had a lot of struggles for a while. Rizzo, you rely on him. Rizzo and Bryant, you're 2-3. Each of them go 0-4 today. What are you going to do? That's the story of the game here. That's it. Once again, the Cubs can't score when they need runs. And we could say that David Ross was slow to remove Hendricks. That's fine, but how many guys in that bullpen do you depend on? I don't have an issue pushing Hendricks a little bit. And, yeah, it was probably obvious after the Wallach single. Okay, he doesn't have it. Back-to-back hits. They're hitting the ball over 100 miles per hour off of him. He's probably done. Next pitch, Corey Dickerson, homer. Completely different ball game. They had some opportunities. Before that home run, Miami was 0-9 with runners in scoring position. Joe Ostrowski with you, 670 The Score. Let's hear from the Cubs manager after the game. Here's David Ross meeting with the media after the 5-1 loss.
Just the swings that Dickerson had taken off of him previous. I thought, you know, he had some pretty bad swings. Kyle seemed to be in command of two of the three at bats. You know, he got pretty good history with him. I trust in Kyle right there. Just the at bats from the day.
Rossi, just what did you see within Kyle's outing? Because he was in a number of jams, but was able to get out of them throughout the game.
Yeah, he pitched in we didn't help him out a couple times there. Just continued to make pitches, made really good pitches. You know, I thought he was executing pretty well when he needed to. You know, not a lot of hard contact, a lot of off the front foot. You know, all the doubles were really just down in that corner for Kyle Schwarber. We had a play on one from Marte. I didn't really feel like he gave up a lot of hard contact actually today. I felt like he was off the barrel a lot. I thought he manipulated the lineup really well, pitched out of some jams that we put him in. I thought he did a nice job today.
How difficult is that feeling to go out there after the home run and take the guy out from a perspective of a manager and as a team as well in that moment?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, a guy pitches, really good and a guy that's been our horse all day. And then, that was going to be his last batter regardless. So, that's a tough one. Tough pull, but, you know, it stinks, Bruce.
Ross, you mentioned how Hendricks didn't give up a lot of hard contact. The offense didn't have a lot of hard contact for you guys either outside of Hap. I mean, just kind of another frustrating day on offense.
Yeah. The offense still trying to get going. Give some credit to their guy, but yeah, we didn't swing it well today, I should say. Still working, trying to get that side of the ball going.
Hey, Rossi, if the team's hitting, it's obviously a much different situation toward the end of that game. But as that starts to play out with Kyle in the seventh, I mean, just given the short series in the playoff atmosphere, you've been through this 100 times as a player, but how is that decision different as that plays out, as that inning plays out, the two guys get on and then the top of the order comes up, you know, whether it's the lefty, whether it's the pitch count?
Yeah.
I mean, is it a different process at all?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think you're going to give Kyle definitely, when you're looking at it before the inning starts, you're going to give him through Wallach, and then you start to look at Dickerson and you start to talk through, you know, the lefty righty lefty matchup, but with the three batter minimum now, how far do you want maybe one of your lefties to go if you bring him in for Dickerson, and then with Marte sitting behind him and then some big boys if things don't work out. So I trusted in Kyle all season long. Tried to look back on the at-bats. Dickerson, you look at the history of what Dickerson's done off Kyle. No real damage there. And if I remember right, pretty good numbers for Kyle. So I don't have all that in front of me right now, but just as my stuff you look at, you know, you trust in the guy that got you there, and I trust him all year long, and he's done nothing but perform. So that's kind of how I walked through it.
Just one quick follow on. It sounds like if you'd have had the lefty matchup you wanted and had the old rules in effect, it might have played out differently.
I wasn't thinking that way, so I have no idea to comment on that, Gordon. I've only managed this season.
David Ross, after the Cubs 5-1 loss to the Marlins, our guy here at 670 The Score, Sean Anderson, tweeting in that his favorite game to play is how low can they bat their MVP? He's talking about Javi Baez with all of his struggles going on this season. Joe O Show, Sports Radio 670, The Score 312-644-6767. Jim in Aurora, you're on The Score.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight? Hey. I David Ross, his new middle nickname is David. I'm worse on pitchers than Dusty Baker Ross. Two examples today, leaving them in too long. The other day, Lester against the White Sox, leaving them in too long. As a catcher, you would think he would know how to manage these pitchers, and he's keeping them in too long, game after game after game. It's just very frustrating. No way. And then what is Kipnis doing starting a playoff game? Are you serious? Come on. It's very frustrating. No way they should have lost today. Very frustrating. I put it on David Ross's feet. today's loss.
David Ross can't score runs. Jim, David Ross can't score runs. That's the problem here.
But Jason Kipnis. So why is he playing? Why is he starting? Why can't you put Bodie out there? Why is not Nico Horner out there? Come on.
Yeah.
This is, like I said, he left Hendrickson. Everybody knows he left Hendrickson too long. He's been doing it all year long. You know, Grant, he's a good guy. He'll probably be a good manager, but he's learning on the fly right now. And it showed today. It's an experience. And that's what happens when you go cheap. You know, 2016, we won the World Series. We should be on our second or third World Series by now. Where are we at? We're still stuck on one. So, just, hey, I'm a truck driver. It's been a frustrating day today with traffic. So, I'm on my way home. But you guys have a good night, man. I feel better now.
Hang in there, Jim. Thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate it. 630 texter, Theo is overrated and shouldn't be allowed to further rework this team. No way. Addison Russell is going to look great in Florida in 5 months. Yeah, I don't think so. Look, man. I don't have an issue if you want to criticize Theo. And we could talk about 2016, and he did do a great job with the rebuild. It was flawless, and it was so quick. Much quicker than anybody anticipated. But if you were expecting to win this year, like they were never going to say rebuild, reset, whatever you want to call it. They weren't going to say that, and they brought in their guy, David Ross, and it's the end of the line for John Lester, and they're going to bring the band back together one more time with this lineup. Hopefully things change, and what do you know? Once again, doesn't happen. But that's where I go. You know what this lineup is. And that's how the season ends every single year. Now, they're short in multiple areas. They're short in the rotation. They're short in the bullpen. And they're short in the lineup. But the reason they lost today, the reason 2019 ended the way it did, same thing for 2018. Can't score runs. They go long stretches. We're talking about a month where they have a tough time scoring runs on a consistent basis. And since the World Series, certainly over the last 3 years, that's been the issue. Their best players aren't coming through. That's it. And we can quibble with Jason Kipnis or some of the guys at the very bottom of the lineup. Their best players aren't coming through. Javier Baez has had a horrendous season. Not today, not a week. Not a month. The season has been terrible for Baez. Brian has been dealing with injuries. He's 0 for 4 today. Rizzo, he's 0 for 4 today. Hayward, 0 for 4. Caratini, 0 for 4. David Ross wasn't perfect. And I think most of us saw, okay, Hendricks is done. He's over 100 pitches, and he's getting hit hard right now. And it was one too many pitches that he was left out there. One too many. And Ross addressed his history against Dickerson and all that stuff. But what we have to be reminded of, where are the great arms in the pen? The one that's making the most money out there, that you're supposed to depend on to win you games, you can't even really rely on him. It depends what week it is. Then maybe you can. So they decided to roll it back. If you want to criticize Theo, I don't have a problem with it. But if they're being honest with all of us, I don't think they're going to sit there and tell us that, yeah, we thought we were going to win the World Series in the 60-game sprint. Weird year. Probably not going to do much at the trade deadline. If we're in the mix, okay, we'll retool. We'll make a couple smaller moves, which is exactly what they did. They didn't go Padres on you. I think they knew. Okay, we won the division. That's great. They earned this opportunity to do something in the postseason. Don't think they believed, or they believe it's been one game, so we don't want to go crazy here. But the season could end tomorrow. Looking at the rest of the National League, and boy, some bad luck for the Padres. Their studs aren't available. And right now they're losing to the Cardinals 6-3, top of the sixth inning. And it could get worse here. Bases loaded with two outs. So the Padres, after pushing their chips to the center of the table, their season could be ending real quickly. Amazing. Amazing season with this wild card round. I don't know if it's going to be something that's going to stick around. They're trying it out here. But I certainly believe the expanded format is here to stay. It's not going to go back to what it was. Probably going to meet somewhere in the middle. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Coming up next, we'll check in with our buddy Evan Altman from Real Cubs Insider, get his reaction to today's loss to the Marlins and what he expects to happen tomorrow with Yu Darvish on the mound and the season on the line. This is 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Joe Ostrowski. Nights on 670 The Score.
Cubs fall to the Marlins 5-1 today. 0-5 with runners in scoring position. They're going to do this again, looking to avoid elimination. Yu Darvish on the bump. A noon pregame and a 108 first pitch right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And if you want to hear the call, Pat Ron. If you're not near a radio, we are able to stream Cubs games now. So you can listen via the radio.com app or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score. And if you're in the office, you're at home, you can hear Pat and Ron, maybe with the TV sound down. So that's really cool stuff for Cubs fans. And hopefully it's not the last game of the 2020 season. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's go out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford. In Melrose Park, our buddy Evan Altman drops by from Real Cubs Insider. Well, it's CubsInsider.com. The handle on Twitter is at Real Cubs Insider. Evan, what upset you about today?
Well, I don't know how much time do you get to have me on here.
Go ahead.
I mean, I think, you know, I think the obvious is the lineup's overall failure, right? The Cubs offense being stuck on one run on a home run by Ian Happ, and especially we saw the wind was blowing out hard to right. You know, it was a little bit frustrating to see how David Ross kind of appeared to have left Kyle Hendricks in there a little bit too long. But again, realistically, with the way the bullpen pitched as well, you kind of can't blame him there. So yeah, it's the one run. I mean, this is what we've seen from this offense so frequently. So coming out of that White Sox series, which they scored 25 runs, to watch them kind of turtle up again was more than a little bit frustrating.
Why do you think the front office continues to they gather and they're saying, okay, let's run it back, tweak this, change that, and maybe the same players will start to hit when it counts at the end of the season and in the postseason? Why do you think they think it's going to suddenly turn around and it's going to be 2016, 2017 again?
You know, it's, gosh, I mean, if I knew that, maybe I could take over as president when Theo's contract is up. That'd be something, a little bit of a raise maybe. But, no, I mean, it's a combination of things, right? I mean, you see these are very Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer are nothing if not loyal. I mean, there's a reason Anthony Rizzo is there, right? A guy they drafted in Boston and then Hoyer had when he was in San Diego and then they went and got him back. That's just one of many, you know, John Lester kind of coming around after his time with the Red Sox. They like these guys. They've assembled a group that they really are enamored of. And I think, you know, the success that they had, I mean, it's, you know, we act like 2016 is this aberration. And really, I mean, they've been in the playoffs all but one year. That's something nobody's ever seen from the Cubs. But at the same time, that has, I think, led them to be a little bit blinded to the shortcomings they have. There are a lot of guys. There's a lot of boom and bust, as we've seen. You no longer have that sort of contact, professional plate appearance every time guy like Ben Zobrist. And those guys don't grow on trees. And at the same time, I think they've had so much value, not just statistically, but emotionally, so much that's invested in these people or these players as people that then when it comes time to try to make a trade or listen to offers, they valued them so high that there's really no way they're ever going to get that value that they perceive. And as a result, you're left with running it back, as we've seen every year. It's just, I think something
seismic is going to have to happen in order for us to really see a big change in what the lineup looks like.
Evan, 45 minutes into the show, and the part of the Cubs conversation that I've completely avoided is now the best case scenario is we are talking about Game 3 with John Lester on the bound, on the bump, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, and for more reasons than one. You know, I mean, I think it's probably almost exactly a year ago. I was talking with you about how John Lester was definitely showing a little bit of rust, right? The quarter panels are a little rusty there. You gotta start putting some touch up paint on the thing, and you know, every once in a while you can run him out there and he's gonna look really good. But we've seen and it's generally not the case. Like with Kyle Hendricks today, you knew he didn't really have it, but you also knew that even at 85-90% that Hendricks is going to be able to give you several innings of work and go deep. That's not really, I mean, with Lester, if he's not really, really sharp, there's a potential for things to go sideways in a hurry and relatively early in the game, especially for a team like the Marlins that, believe it or not, that doesn't actually hit righties well, but that does hit lefties very well. And so if you are talking about a Game 3 with Lester and a lot on the line, the Marlins actually match up a lot better against him than they do anybody else the Cubs have out there. And that might be a little bit scary, but, you know, there again, Lester is a guy, I mean, hey, he's seen his share of big games. He's come up really well in those, and maybe that's the kind of fuel that actually pushes him into a really great game and gets the offense going. I'm trying to be positive as best I can.
Well, you know, at least, and he just happened to be the only source of offense today. Ian Happ with an opposite field homer. We've had the bounce back season from Ian Happ that many of us were hoping for. So that's been a bright spot. But when you go down the lineup, it's not just today. I mean, it is one game and it's now do or die tomorrow. And if they survive to Friday, the same thing. But it's what we've seen the entire season, and we can go back to last year too. The scary thing about the state of the Cubs, when you look at this lineup, there are a lot more problems on a daily basis than solutions.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the frustrating part. You know, if you had said going into the season, you know, Ian Happ is going to, he's going to have a resurgence. He's going to carry over the same performance we saw when he got back to the big club from AAA. After a lengthy demotion last year, you know, he's bouncing back. We say, you know, Jason Hayward's going to have arguably his best offensive season of his entire career, definitely his best with the Cubs. You would be ecstatic because you're assuming then that that means those aren't the only two players who are bright spots in the lineup. But then if I told you, okay, Ian Happ and Jason Hayward are going to be the only two who are actually positive offensive producers.
Yeah.
That would be, nobody would have believed. Right, you're a better. You would not take that bet in a million years that if I told you that was what was going to happen. There's no way. Like, oh, Javi's going to be the worst hitter in Major League Baseball among qualified hitters? No way. I'm never taking that. But that's what happened, and I think there are so many factors in this short season, including not having fans, not having the video to see live during games. I think it's just that some of these guys, and I don't want to say those are crutches, but there was such a different vibe that I think some guys just weren't able to really resurrect themselves from a funk. And it's hard to believe that that'll happen in just two games. But we've also seen that they can go out and put up a bunch of runs at a time. So it's hot and cold. Right now they're cold. Maybe they turn on the hot water tomorrow.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, Baez at the end of the season was saying – that he wasn't ready for games the first few innings. I'm like, and then you're watching the broadcast today, and they're talking about Javi not having fans, and Ross told them that. I'm like, oh, geez. Come on, are we going to do the excuse thing again? We're just sick of hearing it every single year. I feel like maybe the main guy that kind of gets passed over because we spend so much time talking about what Baez is not doing. Bryant needs to stay healthy. You have trust in Rizzo no matter what. It's kind of like the cleanup guy Schwarber flies under the radar, and there were so many high hopes for him this year because of what he did in the second half of 2019. Where are we with Schwarber?
Yeah, that's really the tough one because I think, you know, the hope there was that, hey, even if this is not a guy who hits for a really high average, which, you know, early on it looked like he was maybe going to be able to do. But, you know, if he's out there mashing 40 home runs a year, okay, that's fine. You know, give me the low average. That's cool. And he was doing better in left. But, you know, as you said, one of the big things actually last year, and that was, I think, what was really refreshing about both his success and what we saw from Javi, is that both of them were taking outside pitches and riding those things out for opposite field home runs with pretty high frequency. I think Javi had the most opposite field home runs in the league last year. And we haven't really seen, and I don't know, again, if that's a function of just not having the typical run-up and being able to see those pitches and kind of adjust appropriately, but it just doesn't seem like, I feel like they're forcing the action. Schwarber in particular is trying to force things, trying to really get that perfect pitch, sit on it, and drive it for a pulled home run rather than just taking it. We've seen him take a lot of called third strikes. And that plate approach is just, it's too patient. That's something we saw from him a couple years ago where, you know, if I'm a pitcher, I'm going first pitch strike on him, and then I'm going to run away to the corners because I know he's going to take. And we did see the other day, he actually took two pitches and then rode one outside for an opposite field home run. That's the Schwarber we need to see, but it's not there. I cannot explain it. I don't really understand it, but he's, when we talked about why the front office hasn't made changes or what changes maybe they'll eventually need to make, as much as I hate to say it because I love the guy and he's been one of my favorite players. He's an Indiana Hoosier, but he's the epitome of kind of what this roster is and where they need to make some changes if they want to shuffle around the way that their kind of feast or famine offense goes.
Joe Ostrowski, my guest, Evan Altman, CubsInsider.com. Evan, I really hope that we're not living in the world where the next 6 months we don't see Cubs baseball because the season ends tomorrow, and the narrative is Yu Darvish still melts in the postseason.
Yeah, that would be – I was thinking about that today, you know, and about how he's got a chance to obliterate that narrative or and I think the thing is it's still going to exist even if the offense – again, kind of turtles up and hides. And that was sort of what, you know, again, it's like, oh, Ross left Hendricks in too long. Well, they only had one run. So even if he makes a move and the bullpen comes in, you know, do they hold that lead? And so, you know, I do think Darvish is a totally different pitcher, though. And I love what I've seen from him. I do think his mind is in a really, really good place. I feel like he's going to be sharp. My fear is that part of what I feel like this lineup does sometimes is say, well, hey, we got one of our aces going. He can make one run stand up. We don't need to score right away. He's going to get us through four or five or six of shutout ball, so we can come back and catch up. They really need to get out there, give him some run support early, and let him cruise and settle in. And I think then everybody will feel a lot better. But I'm with you. I fear losing more than I love winning. And so I'm very anxious about what could happen from all that.
Plus, you want to be writing and tweeting about Cubs games next week.
I would like to be, and I'm going to be there at a rooftop tomorrow, so I don't want to leave that feeling down in the dumps about not having any more Cubs baseball, so I need them to win.
So what are the rules with that? How many – is there what's the limit on the number of tickets? Do you have to wear the mask the entire time?
Yeah, you do have to wear the mask upon entry, and they do a temperature check and do some other, you know, make sure you're on the list and all that whole sort of thing. I don't know if they're, that's, I think, 25% capacity maybe, although I feel like that's maybe a little bit misleading because I think capacity is greater than just the number of seats they've actually gotten the thing.
Correct, yeah.
But it is, you know, so it's like, oh, we can actually hold 500 people, but so there's to be 125 here. But no, it's I've been one other time this year. It was a little bit weird. It's just much more laid back because there really aren't that many people there. But it's you know, it's interesting. And you know, when somebody offers you a free ticket, you take it. So I figure there's not that many places right now until the NLCS anyway. Apparently, Major League Baseball is selling tickets, but right now there's not many places you can go watch a ball game live. So I'm happy to be one of the few.
Yeah, MLB announced today that, was it Arlington, that they'll allow 10,500 fans?
Yeah, I think it's, they said 11,500 available for each game. Wow. And yeah, they're at Globe Life Field. So it's apparently that is about 28% of capacity, apparently. So I don't know how that's all going to work out, but that is certainly an interesting development.
That's quite the jump from 100 or 2 to 11,000. Wow.
Yeah, okay. And apparently the tickets right now are at the most. There are the most expensive tickets for the NLCS are only $250. So that's pretty solid.
Huh. Interesting. What do you know about this Marlins starter, Sixto Sanchez, tomorrow?
I don't know a terrible amount. I know he's one of the guys I believe they got in the JT Realmuto trade with the Phillies, if I'm not mistaken. You know, similar to what we saw, and I don't want to, they're certainly not the same pitcher, but what we saw from Alcantara today, I mean, you've got a hard-throwing young righty, tremendous stuff. And I think that's one of the things, you know, the Marlins have a lot of these young guys, and that's the one kind of, that's what we saw the Cubs have a little bit of trouble with today. Have not done my full breakdown of him yet. I'll have that for tomorrow's lineup post. But I know most people believe he's actually their best or most talented starter, although he did have kind of a rough go of it his last couple starts, gave up quite a few runs. So, you know, with these rookies, you kind of wonder, did you hit that wall? Not the same in a normal season, right, because you're not making 30-some starts, but given the starting up, shutting down, starting back up, does that kind of cause a few little changes? Are there nerves there? We shall see, but he is, I think the matchup between he and Darvish is going to be really fun for fans just in terms of watching how these guys can manipulate the ball.
Game on Friday?
Whew. Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cubs win, and they're gonna trounce Sixto Sanchez. Absolutely.
Right.
They're gonna make him 5-0.
Perfect. That's Evan Altman. Check out his work, CubsInsider.com, at D Evan Altman. Thanks, Evan. There's Evan Altman talking Cubs with you right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. My name is Joe Ostrowski. Coming up this next hour, we'll get back to the White Sox conversation at 7:20. Jim Margulis will drop by. Our friend Lawrence Holmes. Oh, he's got to be upset right now after that Sox loss today. Do or die tomorrow for the White Sox and the Cubs. Lawrence is going to be here at 8 o'clock. That'll be a fun chat. But coming up next, Matt Nagy and Nick Foles spoke, talking about the entire Foles-Trubisky dynamic and what they expect to see with this Colts matchup. Remember, the Indianapolis head coach, Frank Reich, knows Nick Foles as much as any coach out there. So is that a big advantage for Indianapolis? We'll address that next. Joe Osho, 670 The Score on the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.